All right, folks, it's that time of the week again. You're with Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. My name is Landing Crew Mark Wheeler. And ladies and gentlemen, this weekend is Memorial Day. Gotta love it. That's the unofficial beginning of summer in my eyes. So, you know, of course, everyone's going to be out having fun. Everyone will be safe. And, yeah. Should be good. Got some great reports in. And we got a great topic tonight. It's going to be all about traveling and fishing. We got some great things going on with Kayak Fishing Radio, but that's more to come. All right, folks, let's get started. We got a little something I'm playing with here to get things rolling, if I can find it. There it is. And now with your Mid-Atlantic Fishing Report. All right. Love the little intro music. All right, folks. Well, if you didn't listen to the Thursday show, shame on you. But you should have, because we had Scuba Stan, who was in the chat room, from Charleston, South Carolina. He was going, you know, why don't we have... You know, moved the Mid-Atlantic show to Charleston. So, Scuba Stan, here you go, buddy. This is from, we're starting from South Carolina now, moving our way up north. We're going to go with the Hadrel's Point Bait and Tackle and Supply. Folks, if you're in the Charleston area, you got to go to this place. Mr. D. Oliver is the one I talked to. Absolute great guy. Spent, you know, about 20 minutes on the phone with him, and he just really did a crack-up job, you know, telling me about everything going on around the area. So let's start with what they've got going on. There is the, I believe it's the Georgetown Fishing Tourney is coming up this weekend. It's part of the Governor's Cup fishing tournament they have down there. Don't know much about it. Didn't really get a really good chance to research it all, but Stan calls in. Then, you know, we'll find out what goes on with that. So, actually, we got an 803 number here. Hang on 1 second, folks. Let's see who it is. Area code 803, you are on the air.
Hey, this is Stan.
Hey, Stan, what's going on, man? Just started the Charleston, South Carolina fishing report for you. Cool, it's good, good that you called, man.
Well, I'm trying to juggle a couple of things. Got my earphones in. Phone's in my pocket, my kid's on my lap, I'm about to get in the bath. The wife is playing soccer tonight, so if you don't mind it, then I don't mind it.
That'll be fine. Got one other caller to see who it is. Air code 727, you're on Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic.
Hello.
it's Rob.
Oh, hey, Rob.
Oh.
Mr. Bad Backass, what's going on, man? Yeah. Oh.
Nothing. How are you?
I'm doing good, man. Doing very good.
Good, man. I'm just checking in with you, you know, like before the Lightning game there.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm not going to be on all night, but people heard enough of me last night, so.
Never. So, all right, Stan, here we go. Here comes some have you been to Hadrel's Point Bait and Tackle?
I love that place. We're fortunate to have a really cool couple of bait and tackle stores in Charleston. Not the big box stores, but, you know, places where you can actually go and get real information and meet, you know, real people. I guess like most good stores, they're all guides just trying to earn an extra buck here and there. So it's just fantastic places to hang out and pick up what you need and get some local info.
Yeah, I mean, I spent almost 20 minutes on the phone with D. Oliver, and he was awesome. Everything that was going on in Charleston, he had it down pat.
That's a good store. There's two Hadrel's Points and also a couple of Charleston Angler locations that are also really well known.
Okay. Well, like I said, this weekend starts the Georgetown Fishing Tourney, I think it is. it's part of the Governor's Cup down there. Y'all get in there and have some fun with that.
Yeah, Billfish tournament that's going on.
Not
too many kayaks doing that. It's kind of far to go. It's about 70 miles offshore.
Oh, if you start paddling now, you might make it out there by the time the tournament starts.
Yeah.
But here's what Mr. Oliver gave us in the way of knowledge for what's going on. The red bite is out of sight, along with the sheeps and the trout. He wanted me to remind everyone that if you're fishing for trout and you catch a trout, please release it down there. He informed me that there was a really bad trout kill due to the cold winter. So, you know, let's keep those fish there for our kids and let a few go. Also, he reported that there was a humongous cobia bite in the Elipis and Broad River. Get out there and get on the brown clown, folks. I'm a big believer in fishing for the brown clown, and they are an absolute blast. If you're looking to mothership it out to the offshore bite, if you're in the Georgetown fishing tourney, or if you just want to go out anytime, the offshore bite, as he's put it, is stellar. You're looking at everything from tuna, mahi, to every billfish you can think of, blues, whites, sails. Absolutely awesome. Absolutely awesome. Also at Hadrel's Bait and Tackle, I'm going to have this on here until they, it's over. They're going to have a seminar Tuesday, June 21st at 6 p.m. It's a free seminar on everything. Tips, tricks, having a good chat with some friends is basically how he put it. So folks, get out there, support a local tackle shop. Tough times, they could use the help. And we could hear Rob doing dishes.
That's actually me washing my boy.
Oh, okay. Cool. Usually it's Rob doing dishes or making a margarita or something.
Margarita?
Oh, yeah. 5 o'clock somewhere. All right. Now, we're moving up to North Carolina with Red Drum Tackle. Folks, this guy is another great great guy. I mean, he gave me some incredible info. If you're looking for flounder, you can find them. Frisco Pier's full of them, along with some really big blues again. Same as last week, big 8-10 pounders almost everywhere, he said, and some big sea mullet or roundhead. Also, the spot had moved in good numbers, and the pompano, ladies and gentlemen, pompano are a blast. If you can get into them, good on you. Also, they got a good couple of catches of cobia at the Avon Pier and some other places, and he said things are just ramping up just in time for summer. Gotta love it, folks. Gotta love it. Oh, got all chilly and whew. All right, now we're going to move a little farther north to Oregon Inlet Fishing Center. Carla there reports that the blues, croakers, and flounder are there in good supply. Again, if you want to go offshore with one of their headboats, dolphin, marlin, and tuna are everywhere. And remember, folks, if you get there around 3:30, 5 o'clock every day, you can just see what came in fresh off the ocean every day. Their phone number is 1-800-272-5199, or you can email them at fishing@fishingoregoninlet.com. Probably Carla at fishing@oregoninlet.com. Remember, folks, Oregon Inlet Fishing Center, where we make your fishing dreams come true. All right. Thank you again to Carla and everyone down in North Carolina for giving me that great report. Up to Virginia. Ocean's East 2 reports that the Lynn Haven inlet is full of flounder. And I can attest to that. I was out there Sunday for a couple hours, and I couldn't keep off my hook. It was an absolute blast. Just absolutely filled with flounder. Couldn't go wrong on them, basically. Looking at mama chugs or minnows, gulp works great. The whole kin caboodle. All right. Also, the croaker are in there in high supply. And if you can find them, there's a lot of puppy drum in there. But They're few and far between, along with the speckled trout. But you can find them. I have faith in y'all to get out there and find them. Because I know I'll be trying to this weekend. Rudy Inlet. Again, Blues and Flounder. You're looking at about an 8-to-1 ratio of smalls to one keeper, usually in Rudy right now. I was out there Saturday all day and excuse me, and absolutely tore into him. It was an absolute blast. You're looking at hitting the incoming tide is when we did best, and it was just nonstop action. As soon as it hit the bottom, you were hooked up. It was really, really, really great. Future fisherman there. All right. If you wanted to hit the islands, you know, Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel area, you're looking at drum. Big black drum has started school around the islands, along with the blues and flounder. If you can get on them, folks. They're there. It's going to be a little paddle, but you can definitely do it. Let's see here. Also, at any of the shoals, Latimer, Lower Bay Shoals, 9-foot shoals, anything with shoals at the end, basically, is what you're looking at for catching big drum. The drum are everywhere. So, you know, like I said, get over to the Eastern Shore, have some fun out there, be safe, and you'll do great. Also, the flounder bite over by Bluefish Rock, is really good right now. A lot of good reports coming in of that. And also, folks, this just in, the first cobia of the Chesapeake Bay Virginia season was caught today. Yes, folks, the brown clown has been Bay. So, get out there. Go out to that brown clown, some chum over the side, and have a blast. Little tip, try a live blue crab for your cobia experience. It'll be worth it. Many of your local tackle shops, from Princeton Distributing to Oceans East are going to have chum. You're looking at fresh Manhattan chum. Another tip, buy a flat of fresh bunker, not the frozen kind. You're going to want it as fresh as possible. And as you're out there anchored, chum up a little bit. And one rod on the bottom, float one out, and just hold on, folks, because here they come. It's about that time. The water's getting warmer, so we got spades coming in also. The reports of just the bay about ready to start coming alive. So, you know, get all set up because I'm getting all jittery and woo! It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. All right, let's head up a little bit farther north to Maryland. Water up there is clearing up a little bit. No real reports of anything huge. But the May worm, which is the major hatch of worms up there that the stripers eat, started this week. So things will be kicking up there pretty well. And, you're looking at working probably 30, 35 foot of water. Drop it down, start at the bottom, and work your way up until you find them. If you find the worms, you'll find the bass. Bluefish, too, are out there thick. And a few flounder are being caught in the bay around that area, too. Now let's work to the Ocean City, Maryland, Atlantic side. A couple of reports coming in of some really nice stripers being caught. Water temps are coming up a little bit more, too. So definitely get in there. Whistling all the day. Water temps are warming up the East Coast, so get on the drum and get on it. You know, stripers, drum, flounder, everything is starting to light up north. So everyone have some fun. Be safe. And I think that should do it for that much of the show. We dropped Scuba Stan off the list. No! Oh, no! I accidentally dropped the call. Hopefully Stan will call back in a minute after he finishes with his kids. So let's get to the topic of the day. And that is traveling, you know, how far are you willing to travel, folks? Personally for me, I'll travel anywhere I need to. Also, there's a part. Cubist Jan says, I had to reset myself. Okay. Report of a boondoggle, kayak fishing radio boondoggle, folks. It's looking like, what is it, Columbus Day weekend in October. Going to Chucktown, Charleston, South Carolina. Go out there, have some fun, get everyone together and, you know, play around in some of that water. That time of year I know in Charleston is absolutely wonderful. Everything from north is moving south, and everything in south is just holding steady. Because here it comes. That place is going to be awesome. Absolutely awesome. I know last boondoggle we did, we had some people that never really had a, you know, caught a red or trout or any saltwater experience, and they had a blast. Spending time with Chip Gibson, Tree Hugger, host of the Thursday night show, and Rob, a bad, bad cast. He's another good guy. Yeah, folks, I mean, if you haven't met Rob in person, you definitely need to come out and for the Charleston boondoggle. He's a great guy and a great host. So I give him a hard time, but he's really a good guy. So
one thing that you don't realize about the landing crew is I've personally never seen anybody bring more rods in my life on one fishing trip. Not even bash guys bring more rods than the landing crew there.
Well, you got to be ready for any situation, man. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight.
You got to put, like, just everything in one huge, giant crate that's, like, lined with rod holders, man. I mean, you go in there, it looks like the rod section at Bass Pro Shops or something in McElmark's truck, you know?
Yeah, man, you got to always be ready. Always got to be ready.
I'm always ready, and I always have two spinning reels, or, you know, two spinning rips and a fly rig, man. That's ready.
You know I love my freshwater fishing and my saltwater fishing and my, you know, bigger fishing. So you need rods for everything. You know, you got my freshwater rods, you got my saltwater rods, you got my, you know, big game rods, you've got, you know, my Scooby-Doo rod for when I want to play around. You know, you got to have it all. You got to be ready. You got to be stoked.
Not all at the same time, though.
Of course you do. Of course you do. Going to bring in Stan again.
Oh, all right, I'm back. Sorry, guys.
All right, there he is.
Technical difficulties.
Oh, it's fine. Right, it's fine.
That's better now.
So, like I said,
now.
Now he's going to be quiet.
Sweetwater.
There you go. And, of course, Stan mentioned Sweetwater, the unofficial brew of kayak fishing radio. Oh, got to love some Sweetwater Blue.
Yeah, I'm into the IPA, I think, is the best.
Oh, the IPA? Yeah.
IPA the 420.
Ooh, that is a good one. I did enjoy that one while I was down there.
Stan, do you get the Sweetwater up there where near Chucktown?
Absolutely. We can pick up the tackle box with the Heine on the bottom. Wow, awesome. Have you seen it? The bottom of the Sweetwater tackle box is actually a picture
Yeah,
you get it. With a pimple.
It's a picture of a
booty.
Nice.
That's great. Cool,
so the
man.
The boondoggle will be properly stocked. I'll make sure I buy out Charleston.
Nice.
Oh, no.
I can already see it now. We're going to have a little bit of this. With a lot of this. And most likely, by the end of the night, we'll hear lots of this. I've got to love sound bites, folks. I know I do. All right.
You need to get one of you need a real zinging of a redfish just taking
one.
Off. Take him on. Can you find it?
Chip just texted me in a meeting. Can't call in just yet. Maybe in a bit. Chip, take your time. I'm going to be here for a while. Trust me, buddy. All right. Let me see here. See what we got. I might be able to find a little something, something, something.
It's at the beginning of Isaac's intro music there.
Hang on. Something like this? Oop, not the wrong one.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Nothing like a little ringtone to the microphone, folks.
Hey,
yeah.
So how far have you gone, Mark, for a fishing trip to go fishing?
We're
talking about like travel and stuff.
Well, the farthest I have been was I did a trip to it was the Georgia kayak fishing trip out in Columbus, Georgia. And that was a haul for me personally. That was 12 hours. And then we had the Jacksonville boondoggle. Mr. Greg Crisp has joined the chat room. Hello, Greg. Welcome to Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic. Good to see you, buddy. That one was a haul. Right around 11, 12 hours. I know when I lived in San Diego, we did trips up north. And, you know, California is a very long, quote-unquote, state. Going up to the San Francisco is about a, I'm going to say, 4 or 5 hour drive, if I'm lucky, without traffic, which is, good luck in California for that. Definitely, I'll travel. Don't get me wrong, I'll travel where I need to.
How far would you go?
How far would I go?
Yeah.
As far as my bank account would allow me, to be truthfully honest. If someone said, dude, I mean, we'll come on out to California or come on down to, like, Mazatlan, there I go, folks. You know, see you later.
The Belize trip sounds pretty cool.
Belize would be nice, man. I actually want to go back. I want to go down to Costa Rica to the Tropic Star Lodge. I've always wanted to go, and it's one of those things where if I could get a chance to go down there.
Wait till the Keys boondoggle. That's a long haul for you.
Yeah, that would be. I was looking at it the other day. Right around 18 hours, an 18-hour, 20-hour drive, if I was lucky.
Yeah, luckily, it's not going to be all the way down the Keys. So I know Key West from my house is 8 hours. And it's eight hours to get to Key Largo. Or it's 4 hours to get to Key Largo, but it's 4 more hours to get to Key West, man. Once you hit that, a lot of that is two-lane road down there, and it's very slow. If you get behind school buses or something like that, forget it.
Yep. School buses, but, tourists, you know, got to love them, the tourists.
Luckily, that boondoggle is only going to be in either Key Largo or Biscayne. We haven't figured it out yet, but still a ways off.
All right.
But that's gonna be a fall. But that's a beautiful area down there, man.
I
think that you'll be trying to talk your wife into getting papers for Key West Naval Air Station there.
Can only wish. All right, area code 603. You're on Kayak Fishing Radio Mid-Atlantic.
Hey, Mark, it's Greg.
Hey, Greg, how's it going, buddy?
Good, how you doing?
Doing good. So, fill you in, we're talking about how far and what would you pack on your travels to, to fish, to kayak fish. And we all know Mr. Greg lives in New Hampshire?
Yep, New Hampshire, so...
He traveled all the way down to Florida, folks, with his whole family to go fishing. Yeah, drove.
Gotta give him
the props for that. Personally, he left with four, and I'm guessing he returned with four, a wife and two children, right?
Yep, still got four of them. So
better man than me.
Sometimes we almost lost one, but we still have them all. I'm getting
good,
the dirty looks from the little one right now.
Cool. All right, so we know Greg will drive anywhere to go fishing.
Yep.
If Rob would have a car, he'd drive anywhere, I'd guess, to go fishing.
Yeah.
And so, Stan, how far would you be willing to drive, man, to go fishing? Or have you driven?
Well, not in a long time. I haven't had any really good trips since I've had kids. And I really got into kayak fishing since I had kids. Yeah, my little girl's only 2.5. My son's 6 months. But that bug bit me pretty seriously. And so I figured, you know, just jump in, both feet. So trips are definitely going to be in the future, you know. And probably like you, I'm going to load up everything possible. I think it must be a Marine thing to over-equip. So I'll just
You got to be ready, you know, prepare for the worst and hope for the best.
Absolutely.
You know, and, you know, folks, I can't stress this enough. If you are going to get a campsite, do some research on the campsite first. I have been in some situations and to some campsites where I pulled in and went, maybe I should drive the other way because this is in the distance. Sitting there going,
what's wrong with that?
You sure got a pretty mouth, boy. You ain't from around here, right? You know, that kind of
thing. What's wrong with this here face that?
Probably because half it's in the water. So, yeah, it was... I've had some sticky situations in some of these campsites. And luckily, I've been by myself or with a friend and got out okay. In the end, but some gnarly sights. So, you know, do your research. I'm going to put a shout-out for the Little Talbot Island State Park, I believe it is. Folks, that is an absolute beautiful camping area right there. Palmettos and Spanish moss and all overhang right on the water. It was absolutely beautiful. I'd do go back down there in a second. It was an absolute
treat. I would
love to do a trip
at Little Talbot.
Yeah, it was beautiful. You know, this time of year, though, you're going to be dealing with a lot of bugs. So, you know, Thermacell, folks, if you don't have one, you've got to get one if you're going to be doing a lot of trips down in Florida and in South Carolina or Georgia or pretty much anywhere. Those Thermacells will save you in the end from losing your mind or from beating yourself half to death because you're trying to beat the sand fleas and the no-see-ums and the mosquitoes off you. They get very, very gnarly. And remember, folks, if you ever wanted to call in during the radio show, you're more than welcome to. The phone number is 714-816-4727. Just give a call in. You're going to hear the queen come over, ask you to dial one and hit the host queue. Dial one after she prompts you. And I'll bring you right in, and we can chat. You know, sit down, enjoy a brew, talk a little. That's what this is all about. So, we pretty much covered campsites. I know, Rob, you're a humongous, state and national park camper. By what I know about you. You'd rather sit in a national park than in some other ones out there.
No, actually, believe it or not, most of the Florida state parks are very nice. They're along the lines of Little Talbot, you know, depending on where you're at. But I much prefer. I don't like the state parks per se. If I had my choice, It would be somewhere out in the wilderness, somewhere away from people.
Oh, of course.
Know, other people, because.
Agreed.
You know, I like to go camping. I like to go. I don't like to listen to a radio, and I don't listen to a bunch of, you know, people being loud and partying all night long and stuff like that. Kind of like, well, we were a little bit loud at the Boondoggle.
Oh, yeah.
In Jacksonville there, but at Little Talbot. But, you know, I don't like that, you know. So to me, you know, putting a backpack on, or throwing all my camping stuff in a kayak and going out to an island where there's no people is preferable to the state park, you know, to
right.
me, in my opinion.
And that you know, half the thing, if you're, you know, you've got the opportunity to, that's the only way to go, folks. Take it from myself and probably Stan, going, you know, when you get out in the middle of nowhere and you start rucking it out, sorry, folks, just something caught my throat. You know, you look up and you see the stars, and there's no ambient light to blow, you know, take them away or to lose any of them. And you start seeing satellites and, you know, meteorites going through the air, and it's quiet, really quiet, kind of freaky almost. It's definitely a very sombering feeling, and it is truly what, you know, what makes the sport kayak fishing, the ability to do something like that, you know, to paddle your way onto an island that has no one on it, is just a great thing.
Well, that's
great.
A possibility,
that's right,
for the boon.
Go ahead.
That's a possibility for the Charleston Boondoggle. There's a couple of islands, Capers Island and Dewey's Island, are campable, but they're only accessible by boat. If it is a distance issue, we could always mothership out to the island, set up camp, and just leave my boat at a marina that's a couple of miles away, and just have a buddy of mine come fetch me when it's time to get back out.
That would be cool. That would definitely be a
awesome.
Cool thing.
I could definitely, you know, go ahead.
It's probably going to depend on how many people we got going, you know. If there's,
yeah,
if
right.
it's a smaller group, you know, like 10 people or something, we could probably swing that, but maybe not if there's more. I don't know how many people you're capable of getting out there.
Well, you got to also look at it, you know, how many people are going to be family. If there's a lot of families,
right.
and, you know, but if it's going to be like 15 of us, yeah, if it's going to be 15 of us and we're all, you know, we don't have families and we're all hardcore about it, and, you know, how much I'm willing to leave back in my truck, which isn't going to be a lot, you know, that all comes down to it. But, folks, we still have a few months until that time to start saving your pennies and get ready for the Charleston Boondoggle. So let's also talk about, you know, what is essential for when you make trips. Greg, do you have anything essential that you bring that you know you can't live without when you're on one of your fishing expeditions?
You know, other than the way too much fishing equipment, just preparing for, you know, who knows, marlin may show up in the middle of the lake. You've got to be prepared. You know, when I went down to Jamaica Bay for the weekend, it was pretty much just a sleeping bag, a pack of hot dogs and rolls, and a case of beer, and that's all I needed.
Right.
And some trail mix, too.
Oh, you need a snack.
Yeah, need something to snack on, but that was pretty much it. Just brought a skewer for the hot dogs to cook them, and lived, you know, pretty simply for that.
Nice.
But if the family's coming, it normally takes quite a bit more gear.
Yeah, everything but the kitchen sink.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially if you got little kids, you got to, you know, make sure that, you know, they're happy and content and, you know, have something to do. Because the last thing you need to have happen is for kids to get bored. They're worse than fishermen when they're bored.
Hey, Greg, I'm kind of curious, man. How much room did they for those of you who don't know, Greg's tent is like the Astrodome. So I'm just kind of curious about how much room that thing takes up when it's all packed up. That was a pretty giant tent, man.
Yeah, it packs up pretty small for the size. It's a huge tent. It can, you could sleep 10 or 12 close friends in that tent.
Dude, that thing probably echoes if you talk, man. I'm not kidding you. That thing's huge.
Yeah, and I just used it again this weekend with the kids, and the nice part was when it rained, there was plenty of room for the gear and everything inside.
Very nice.
Did you lose anybody?
No.
That's a big tent.
Pack size, when it packed down, it's probably 30 inches long by 10 inches by 10 inches.
Wow.
Wow, that's pretty good.
And it's a pretty good hefty tent. It's got to weigh, I don't know, I'd say 30 pounds maybe, 20 to 30 pounds.
That's not bad.
I'd say probably 30 because my cabin tent, which will sleep, it's very misleading when you go, it'll say, sleep five, but, is it like five kids or what, man? Because I could never, I always look at the number of people that can sleep and then like minus two. Because realistically,
yeah,
that's about the amount of people that you can fit in the thing. But my little says it sleeps five, and I've only been able to get three in there max. So, and that weighs 20 pounds on its own. So I imagine yours, that big, huge Astrodome tent is probably closer to 30.
Yeah,
does it have like wheels? Did it have wheels on the bag, on the tent bag?
No, it's just a zip up bag. So it's it's not too bad.
Yeah, I mean,
that's awesome.
If you're gonna buy a single man's tent, just a little pop up dog tent, folks, go out and buy something that's gonna be decent. I've gone through two in the past 5 years. The last thing you want to have happen is for you to buy a cheapo one-man tent, be sleeping, and all of a sudden it starts to rain. And then you realize, oh, it's not waterproof, it's water-resistant after 10 minutes. And now you're floating away from your campsite. Not saying it ever happened to me, but I'm just letting you know. That's what you might want to check out. There are a couple great manufacturers out there. Unfortunately, I can't get them off the top of my head. As you can probably tell, I'm having some throat difficulties. And I excuse me for that. But, definitely go out and invest in a good tent. If you're worried about waterproofing it, there are a lot of great waterproofing products out there. You just aerosol spray them on top of your gear, and it keeps things pretty much watertight.
Well, Mark, I'm sorry. Maybe get yourself sorted out there for a second, but I found that the cheap tents, if you take some seam sealer to them, and you take some of the waterproof stuff, like you said, I can't think of it off the top of my head either, what it's called, but it does a half a decent job on a cheap tent, and you can get some mileage out of that stuff.
Yeah, oh yeah. I'm a firm believer in, you get what you pay for. And if I buy something, I want it to last for more than one or two seasons. Because if you ever talk to anyone, I'm hard on all my gear. It's just the way I am. Because I don't have time to baby stuff a lot of times. Got to go. Throw it all. Let's go. That's my major thing is that, I want to get something that I can have for a long time and I don't have to worry about breaking it. And if I do, make sure you have a good warranty on all your stuff, folks. it's definitely worth it when you can call them and go, ah, I broke it. Oh, it's okay. We'll replace it. Yay! Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
All right. So, you know, Stan, do you have a tent that you spelunk in?
I've got a couple in variant sizes. I think the biggest thing I look for is one that the poles actually have clips instead of having to thread it through the, you know, the cloth. I don't know, I can't even think what to say, but they clip on instead of going through like the cloth tunnels.
Right.
Which is just aggravating to me. But anything beats a shelter half.
Yes, that is true. Oh, God. Many, many, many a night. Oh, oh man. I just got chills just thinking about it. Oh, man.
They have a smell.
Oh. Folks, if you think of, like, bad gym bag with, you know, rotten meat sometimes. If you're lucky, that's what it smelled like. Oh, God. Yeah. Sorry. but, you know, it's, you know, tents, you know, a major thing if you're going to do these travels, because personally I don't have the kind, you know, and I know a lot of people don't have the kind of money to be spending 4 or 5 nights in a motel room. That can get very expensive, plus food and everything else. So camping out is definitely the way to go. You know, and then when you're camping out, you're going to need a way of sleeping. I spent the Jacksonville trip sleeping in the bed and in the cab of my truck. And that will be the last time I will do that. Very uncomfortable. But, you know, a good sleeping bag and a good mattress, cot, blow up, something to keep you off the ground is a must. I spent many, many nights while in the Marine Corps, excuse me, sleeping on the ground. And usually in the morning, I can't move because my back's all tight. My shoulders are killing me. You know, I was sleeping on a rock 3/4 of the night before I finally moved. Wishing I had a way of, you know, putting a mat down, you know, give me at least some sort of cushioning if I was lucky. So, you know, go out and invest. You know, I know Rob, he had a full-blown, like, thermocell blow-up mattress. Out there
actually, if it's not too cold or anything, I don't mind the old inflatable air mattress. That does a, you know, the one I have, it does a really good job. The other one, the one that I can't live without, is probably my standard, is the Therm-a-Rest base camp. And it's a little bigger than normal, but I'll tell you what, man, that thing, it's the greatest thing ever. And I'm telling you right now, as a you know, camper, that's the one thing that I can't leave home without. I'm going on any sort of a trip like that, Therm-a-Rest has to be there, man. It's weight, it doesn't take up any room, it's inflating, and does a great job, man. So,
oh, yeah.
I highly recommend those.
Well, I found that a single size air mattress fits perfectly between the wheel wells of my Tacoma. That works out.
Yeah, my Dakota, I need a much smaller one. I found that out, checked it out about 2 months ago. Took an air mattress, you know, a little, you know, twin size air mattress, stuffed it in there, and it kind of folded up on me, so. I need to look for something slightly smaller. Greg, you know, I know you had the whole Taj Mahal set up. did you guys have cots or air mattresses, man?
We just had some thin air mattresses.
Okay.
But that's going to be hopefully upgraded in the future because we got plenty of room for cots.
Yeah,
but I would definitely recommend on a limited budget. I would put more money into a good sleeping pad or a cot and downgrade the tent a little than vice versa.
Right.
Get a much better sleep that way.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it comes, you know, if you're not comfortable what you're laying on and what you're laying around in your sleeping bag purchase and your cot purchase, you could be as sheltered from the weather as you want to be, but if you're not comfortable, it's no point. And that brings us to sleeping bags. I personally have I think it's like a $175 sleeping bag set. It's I don't know, I'm gonna say this a couple of times. You never know what's gonna happen. Your tent might rip. It might blow away. Invest in a three-system sleeping bag. You're gonna have your warm weather sleeping bag, your cold weather sleeping bag, which fits the warm weather fits inside the cold weather one. Then you have an outer shell. This is what we had in the Marine Corps, and it's something that I can't live without now. I've been in some situations where I had a tent, a branch came down and punctured a hole in it right above where I was sleeping, and then it started raining. Go figure, right? You know, Murphy's Law was working right on my side. You know, if I didn't have that outer protective layer on that sleeping bag, I would have been very uncomfortable on a very long paddle home. So definitely invest in a good sleeping bag. Stan, what kind of sleeping bag do you have, man? Hello? Stan? Do we lose you?
Sorry, guys, I had it on mute. I was trying to lay my little girl down.
Okay.
It's your standard POS.
Nice.
It's Walmart. It's not a very good one. I need to spend the money and get something decent.
Right. Oh, yeah. Rob, do you blanket it out or do you use a sleeping bag, man?
Well, I do have a sleeping bag, several, actually. They're all Mountain Hardware, and they're just temperature rated. I have a lightweight one for Florida. I have a 40-degree one for other ones, and a 0-degree mummy bag, which I absolutely hate. mummy bags to me, and they're all synthetic down too. They're not. I love down. However, if you get wet, you're done.
Yeah,
because it don't dry. It doesn't dry very well. I learned the hard way using a down sleeping bag. It got wet one time, and I swore those off. But a synthetic down is very close to the down sleeping bag, and it's not just like the rolled up synthetic puffy material. It's something completely different. They do a nice job on it, so I highly recommend those. So it just depends on where I'm going to be, on, you know, what kind of sleeping bag or, you know, I use a flannel liner in all of them. You know, those are, those. It's, you know, can't complain. Because, you know, if you spend a lot of time in the outdoors, all that stuff fits into a kayak perfectly, you know,
Thermarest.
Everything, and you do have to invest a little bit of money in this stuff because, yeah, you can go to Walmart and get stuff that's really cheap, and, you know, that works a lot of times, too, but the last thing that I want to do is be uncomfortable, you know, after slogging it, you know, like at the Jacksonville boondoggle, the last thing I want to do is lay down and feel like, you know, rocks poking me in the back and stuff, you know. I want to be able to get some. So I definitely take my comfort seriously while I'm out there. And
I
recommend that for anybody else, too, man.
Yeah,
so,
I suffered after that day. Sleeps in the cab of my truck.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I told you, I said I would bring a big tent and an air mattress for you, and you were like, nah, I'm okay. I'm in the back of my truck.
Yeah,
I'm like,
that was until someone left bait in the bed of my truck, and I opened, cracked that seal.
That was that
one. Oh.
Man, we took that. I thought we were taking a trip to Garden Grove, man, because it smelled like Blue Dog inside the van. You know? So that was definitely rank. I don't know what that was.
That was awful. So,
but,
we hit Stan, Rob, Greg. What kind of sleeping bag do you guys use?
I'm using, I think, maybe one step up from Stan, or maybe a half step. It's a big box sporting goods store Coleman version. You know, it's nothing great. It gets the job done. It is a synthetic down or synthetic filler, and you know it works. You know, I'd say it would probably be good for me down to about 30 degrees, which at this point in time is cold enough for my camping trips.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Hey, one recommendation though, if you're on a budget, at Walmart, well, you know, I haven't checked recently, but this has been within the last year or so. They do have halfway decent sleeping bag there. It's called a sleep cell. Okay, and it's a tapered sleeping bag. It's not a monkey bag, so you're not all claustrophobic. It has mesh vents down the side in case you get too hot and you want to open it up. But you zip down the sides, and it's got a mesh vent on each side. It zips down the middle, so if you're laying on your back, it's the zipper's right there on your chest. Okay? And it's a big, thick zipper. It's not like one of these little weeny, zippers that gets, like, caught in fabric every, 2 inches. And it does have, it has an inflatable pillow in the head of it, too, man. So I got to say, those are some halfway decent. They're synthetic, and they're about $20 too, believe it or not. So definitely give those a shot, man. I haven't had any trouble with them. I've used them before.
Very nice. Might have to look at that. You know, that sounds like right down my alley.
And they even make them in pink too, Mark.
In what?
They make them in pink.
Oh, super! I love my bubble gum. So, excuse me. Oh, I hope my mother doesn't hear that. So let's comfort things. We've dealt with the needs. We have the shelter. We have the warm bedding, if you want to be warm. Let's look at what else we got going on. We've got comfort. Do you bring a Coleman stove? What kind of bug repellent? Personally, I have a one little burner system that I use. I carry the compactable stuff, pots and pans, if I need to cook out. Most importantly, a thermocell. I already mentioned it earlier. I'll mention it again. You need a thermocell if you're going to be out camping for a long time. It's definitely mucho, mucho, mucho needed. It'll keep most of the nasty bugs away from you, and that is definitely needed this time of year.
No, I got to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Comfort-wise, okay, as far as, like, in a kayak, okay, I just got to mention this. The second trip to Mosquito Lagoon there, I borrowed Scott Dorsey's Ocean kayak, his OK Prowler 13, right?
Right.
That wasn't a bad boat, but the best feature on that thing was he put a killer seat in that thing, okay? I'm telling you right now, my seat in my kayak is definitely, I mean, after being on the water 8 hours, it's like you need a back readjustment, your tailbone's killing you and all that stuff.
Right.
Whatever seat, I forget what it was called, an expedition seat or something. I forget exactly what it was.
GTS,
but man,
expedition.
Dude, yeah, I could have stayed in that thing all day long, man. That was like probably the most comfortable kayak seat I've ever sat in, man. That thing was awesome. So I would definitely recommend that to anybody.
Yeah.
I will say, I just
Yeah?
I just upgraded my seat for Jamaica Bay because I knew on the Saturday of the tournament I was going to be pushing 12-plus hours in the seat. And, you know, looked at the GTS Expedition and a lot of the high-end seats and just couldn't bite the bullet on it. And just went out and added a $3, one of those cheap foam stadium seats.
Right.
How did it work?
Added that underneath the, you know, I have, I think it's a squoosh seat, gel seat.
Right.
What a difference that, just that extra 3/4 inches of foam made.
Wow, really?
Yeah, I thought it might help a little bit, but it was like buying a $200 seat. It turned a $100 seat into a $200 seat.
Wow,
that's awesome.
I
recommend you guys try it. It was like $299 at the fishing store.
Cool.
Wow, that's awesome.
So,
yeah, that's something that
I gotta look at that.
My ride isn't very comfortable after about 4 hours. I start doing the butt switch and the slide and standing up and trying to stretch out my back. And if anyone see me coming off the water after, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours, I look like I'm about 90 years old, hunched over, you know, kind of stretching out the legs. And, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, it's very... that's definitely one of the comfort things is get a good seat.
Yep.
Oh, please get a good seat. I cannot wait to get myself a Tarpon 140, which is going to be my next boat. And the Phase 3 seat from Harmony Wilderness Systems, oh, that thing is amazing. Lumbar support and adjustable thigh. And So, Stan, what kind of comfort things do you need on your trips?
Bug spray-wise, I'd probably say it's Thermacell, but if I don't have the Thermacell with me, I found in the Charleston area there's some stuff called Badger or something or another. It's like comes in a little tin. It looks like wax. You rub it on yourself, but it works really well for the no-see-ums, the sand fleas. I've got to find, you know, my boat that I have, I think it's a great beginner boat, but I'm finding out there's much better things on the market. And man, I'm telling you, to start talking about seats. I know after not very long, I just can't feel my butt anymore. And I started doing the shim here, the sit on one cheek deal. And I think there's got to be something better out there. And I'd like to, you know, upgrade to maybe a Ride 135. But I'll be looking to all of y'all for insight into what's a good boat.
Well,
currently I have something, you know, bought off Craigslist, originally purchased from Dick's, the Perception Caster 12.5.
Yeah, I've ridden that thing many hour because I borrowed one from a buddy of mine. Well, my ride had a hole in it, and I can attest that seat is not comfortable. That was a 45-minute seat. After 45 minutes, I wanted out.
You're right.
It's like sitting in a fishbowl. It's just very uncomfortable. But, you know, that's why they made
that.
Go ahead.
You know, comfort-wise, I don't know, like a cooler. You know, just with beverages, and I'm pretty good to go.
Yeah, good cooler. I if you can invest in it, those Yeti coolers. I've got one at home, and oh god, that thing is wonderful. Only problem with it is it keeps everything freezing cold for as long as possible. But if you open it up and it catches the heat from the air, it'll start melting your ice before you even know it. So little tech tip. Waft your cooler a little bit to get some airflow moving and some of that colder air to move out, then close it. It'll keep your ice much longer than before. And that was a Landing Crew tech tip.
Hey, Hey, I got to say, Redfish Chuck had his Yeti cooler out at Mosquito Lagoon, and that thing was, I got to say, that thing is every bit as awesome as everybody says it is.
Yeah.
You know, I personally can't be spending that kind of money on a cooler, but it definitely does an awesome job. And if you're on extended trips or something like that, that thing will definitely work for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, I looked at it like this. I was going through maybe 2 to 3 cheapo coolers a year, and I've had my Yeti now for about – it's one of the larger. It's the – I guess it's, you know, 24-inch, you know, length cooler. I use it for when I'm surf fishing or on the pier or out on the boat. I've had it for about 3 years now. And I go through coolers, you know, all the time. So I'm snapping the lid off or snapping off one of the handles, and it's, you know, it drives you insane when that happens. And, you know, the price I was paying for each new cooler, I pretty much went into this one Yeti. And it was definitely worth the investment. Well, folks, I'm looking at it. We've gone through an hour. I think, you know, we can find some more to talk about. I'd like to take this to about an hour and a half. Up and away. You know, I got nothing better to do. So, let's see. Go ahead.
I think Scuba Stan was asking about kayaks, you know, like what we recommend and stuff. Isn't that what you were asking, Stan? Are you looking at insights? Yeah. Okay.
I am. What do y'all use, and why do you like it?
Oh, we'll start with Rob. Go ahead, man, because I know the game's about to start.
Oh no, it's already on.
Oh,
it's okay. I'm watching it online. But anyway, the best thing. Let's see. What's a good? Okay. I use a Malibu. My kayak is a Malibu Stealth 12. I love it because it's very stable. It's 33 inches wide. It has tons of storage properties in it. It has a huge gator hatch in the front that I can store a lot of stuff in. And it has a casting deck that I can stand and fish with. I'm trying to think. On the bad side, it's definitely... It's a dog paddle. It's definitely not built for speed, but for stability, I can't ever remember being out in any nasty swells and stuff, being scared that I was going to lose it. I don't know, man. Anything in the stealth line for me is, that's the stuff that I look for. I looked at all sorts of kayaks before I bought one, and that was my choice.
Yeah, though that Malibu is definitely a if you're in snotty water and you're not worried about speed, you're just looking more for stability. Actually, any of the Malibu series of boats, absolutely one of the most stable boats out there. But when you get the stability on their end, you lose a lot of speed and maneuverability. They're basically tanks in the water. So, Greg, I know you fish in Malibu also. You know, pros, cons,
yep.
What do you got to say about them, man?
You know, pretty much the same stuff. I got the big brother of Rob's. I got an X-Factor, which is a little over 14 feet long, 35 inches wide, and I'm pushing 300 pounds, and I can stand on the thing. If I
wow.
had to do it again, I probably would have gone with the Stealth 14. I just really didn't think anything, I was going to be able to comfortably stand in.
Right.
And it's stable enough that I can stand in it, and I would have, would regularly use that casting platform now. The Malibus are great. Stability's great. But they are slow. It is a big, wide kayak, and anytime you have a stable kayak, it's not going to be the fastest.
Right.
Before that, I paddled an Ocean Kayak Prowler 13, which was only 29.5 inches wide.
Wow.
And, you know, that was, you know, not real significantly faster. I could maybe get another half mile an hour out of it, but, you know, it was easy to knock over. If you weren't paying attention and you got blindsided by a wake, it was real easy to dump.
Yeah.
And that Malibu, you know, is not. I put a kid in each end, and you know they couldn't tip over the kayak with me in it. So,
I mean, somebody got to look at the the hull of a lot of these kayaks. The Malibu has a very flat, you know, almost bay boat flat style hull. No real keel to it, which is the point on the bottom, which helps cut through the water. Ocean kayaks have a very defined keel. And if you set them down on the ground, they'll flop side to side really heavily, which, you know, is great for cutting through the water. I've paddled an ocean kayak before myself, and, yeah, they are very, very tippy. You know, Kayak Kevin, he will attest, ocean kayak all the way. And a lot of guys, they swear by the ocean kayaks. I'm not a fan of the OKs. I am a Wilderness Systems diehard through and through, unless, you know, a kayak manufacturer needs a pro staff guy. Thumbs up. Shameless plug. But right now I am paddling the Ride 135 from Wilderness Systems. It is an excellent boat. It's the 08 version, so it doesn't have as many of the bells and whistles as the new one does. It doesn't have the snap lock Orbix bow hatch or the bigger padded seat. My seat's pretty much crushed down because I spent so much time in it. You know, it's a very stable kayak. I stand up in it no problem. Never really tipped it. The only time I've ever had a problem was I was coming back in and a larger wave caught me off guard and sent me butt over teacups. Tumbling in the surf, and that was not fun. But the only thing is, if that kayak was slightly faster, because it is, you know, it's definitely a little wider. If it had a little more speed to it, and didn't get caught in the wind as much, it would be a perfect kayak. And I mentioned before that my next one is definitely going to be the Tarpon 140. I spent a lot of time out in the ocean, in the bays, out here in Virginia, fishing pretty hardcore. And I wanted something a little faster, but still with the stability, and I get that with a Tarpon 140. It's not the 160. The 160 is insanely fast because of how long it is. Usually, folks, if you look at a kayak, the shorter the kayak, usually the slower they are. You know, the 160 is real long and slender and cuts the water really well. Just a little too big for my taste. I wanted something with a little more oomph to it. And the 140's got that all the way. I'm looking at a brand new Phase 3 seat on the new Tarpons, which is, in my test, one of the best stock seats you can get that's going to be attached to your kayak. It's got the little mesh storage spaces between your legs, one huge hatch between your legs, the slide track system, which is great because now you can attach and detach rod holders, a cutting board if you're chumming, you name it, you can add it. You can change where your bungees go. It just gives you, in my eyes, the ability to customize your boat to what you need for yourself. And it's not just one cookie cutter setup.
One thing I wanted to ask Greg real quick. Greg, is your center hatch in your X Factor, does that just have a bag that sits in there, or is that an actual box inside that hatch?
No, it's an open hatch. with a bag inside, just like the behind the seed hatch. You know, so I can access stuff. I have, you know, made little storage areas off to the side that I can slide boxes on. You know, get
so
in there.
So it just
there.
Goes in. It just goes into the hall.
Yep, just goes into the hall. Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. And you know, speaking of the tarpons, I just picked up this spring a brand new tarpon 120 for my wife. And really, really impressed with the fit and finish and everything on that kayak. We're going to get it out on the water for the first time this weekend, and I'm anxious to get in it and see how stable it is. But
yeah,
really impressed. Really well built kayak.
Yeah,
that's generous. I'm giving my wife my old one.
Yeah, well, she was. After the boondoggle last year, she said, if I want to do this again, I had to get her one.
Well, there you go. And
cool.
And I'm going to go through the whole Angling Wilderness System series of boats. If you aren't looking at going into some nasty water, or you're not worried about running some, you know, class 5 rapids, and you're going to fish primarily lakes and secluded areas, folks, you cannot go wrong with the Commander 120 or 140. If you take a native and put it on steroids and, you know, give it the million-dollar man treatment, you know, we will make you better, faster, stronger in every way. This boat is, in my opinion, the Cadillac of kayaks. You got the Phase 3 Freedom Seat. This thing is incredible, folks. You sit in this, it's just like the native, it's a hybrid. You sit down in it, and if anyone's ever fished for a long time on the water, the last thing you want to do is be sitting inside a bowl the whole day. This gives you the opportunity to actually fold up the seat, slide it underneath the captain's perch. And you don't know what the captain's perch is. It's basically just to get your butt sitting higher. And it may be 6 inches, but that's 6 inches higher than you were before. And you can, you know, move around a lot more. Now you're going to sit on top with that captain's perch. And it's, you know, it's stability. It's got the hull of a Ride 135, which is a pontoon style. You can't flip these darn things. I had the great joy of sitting with Chad Hoover when he got the number one Commander, the first one in production. I think it was about 2 years ago. And, I was blown away by that. And now they just made them even better in the past 2 years. So that, you know, that's another great thing. It's got the slide tracks and, you know, system and everything, and it's truly amazing. One of those boats, if I had the money, I'd buy. Go ahead, Stan.
Stan, those are basically we talk about this all the time. There's so many different kayaks, and everybody loves a certain kind of kayak for a certain reason, you know. So the best thing to do is just do your research, figure out which one works best for you, you know, which has the features that
right.
you most want, and get it, you know, because there's the perfect kayak for every situation. I mean, even as much as I love my Malibu, I do recognize the fact that it is slow, and paddling it in swift current and stuff like that is not the best thing for it. That's not the best boat for that kind of situation. But to be the Mac Daddy of all kayaks, the Rolls Royce of all kayaks is definitely the Hobie Pro Angler.
Oh, yeah.
that's
I wasn't even
really
mentioning
kayak.
Hobie.
That's
not a kayak.
Yeah,
that's a freaking yacht.
That's a flats boat, man.
Yeah.
And I got to say, just all the features on that thing, it's just like yowzer, but, you know, it's probably the most expensive kayak you'll buy, too, you know, fishing kayak, because I think they retail out at, like, $2,600, I think, $2,500, something
wow.
like that, which is,
yeah.
It's pretty expensive, but, man, that is a really, really nice kayak. You know, on the lower end, not lower end is in quality, but a more affordable Hobie, which Pam at Yak Angler has is that the Outback is really, that's really a nice kayak too.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Hobie people swear by them. The Native people swear by them. Everybody, you know, everybody has their own preferences when it comes to kayak and what works for them. So you just got to figure out what that is, what works for you and what you, the features that you're looking at. So look at everybody, you know, and make your decision based on that.
Yeah, you really got to sit down and look at how you fish. I knew a guy that bought a Hobie Adventure or Out. I think it was the Venture, because he loves, you know, the ability to be able to pedal his way through everything. Well, this guy fishes on the flats. That's all he does. He goes out to these flats areas and he wanted to scoot along. Well, the Mirage Drive doesn't work in 6 inches of water, so it was kind of, he bought it, didn't really think it through, and now he kind of regretted it. And you know, I knew other guys that they love fishing, you know, out in the middle of the bay and out in the Atlantic, going after cobia and everything else. Only thing was is that they've, you know, they bought, you know, Malibus and rides, and you know, those are larger boats and these are smaller guys, and they just couldn't get their, you know, as much movement or speed that they wanted to be able to troll and, you know, spend all day out there paddling. They just couldn't do it. You know, and it all comes down to, you know, find a bunch of guys or go to a demo day and sit your butt in a bunch of kayaks and paddle out and, you know, try to tip it on. Okay, I can do that on that and, you know, paddle it around. A lot of times you can paddle, you know, a good 45 minutes and that'll tell you how, you know, how you can adapt and then you realize, okay, maybe this wouldn't be great if I'm fishing here, but it'd be great for this. And you got to find that good, happy median. Until you can buy multiple kayaks for multiple situations.
Probably, yeah. And we were talking about that, and it's like you almost need like two or three of them just to cover all the situations that you'll be in, you know. But for instance, mine, I don't use a crate or anything like that. I use everything that I take with me fits right in. It has a center, big old center live well hatch, okay, and that fits. All of my stuff is right in front of me, right in front of my seat. So that's probably the biggest selling point on my kayak was all of my stuff is right there within reach, right in that center live well hatch. And if you use a bait or something like that, you can totally rig that thing out for an aerator and pump. The side compartments that are on either side of that center hatch, you can rig pumps in there and you got enough room in the back compartment to put a battery to run that thing for you and everything else. So, I mean, that personally, that and the storage are like the two big selling points for my Malibu. But that's just me, you know. I mean, that's what, you know, Mark might look at my kayak and say, wow, man, that thing's the biggest, slowest piece of garbage on the face of the earth, you know. And that's okay, you know. But everybody has their preferences for their kayaks, and I've never heard a Native person that has a Native say, oh, I hate my kayak, and I've never heard a Hobie person say, oh, God, I hate my kayak, you know, so it's all whatever, you know, you just look into it, do your research, and try one out if you can. Mark's right, the demo day is like the best times to actually check something like that out and figure out what you like, man.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, and if you get a chance, do your research out there. I mean, there's so many websites out there. The big one for us is yakangler.com, your ultimate kayak fishing or the premier kayak fishing resource. Folks, get on Yak Angler. It is absolutely a great bunch of people. More than willing to help anyone out. Stan just became a member after last week. Thank you, kid.
What I'm trying to think of is there's not a whole lot of people that have the same kind of kayak on Yak Angler, is there? I mean, you got a couple of guys with OKs, and you got a couple of guys with Natives, and you got a couple of guys with Malibus and such. So, you know, ask all those people that have different kayaks. There's a whole page of reviews on kayaks. Everybody's done a lot of reviews on their own boats, all the pro staffers and everything. At least, I'm sorry, most of the pro staffers. They're a Yak Angler, have done a lot of their boat reviews on their own boats. So check that out, man. If you have any questions, man, ask any of them. They'll talk kayaks all day. Mark Yaksushi, he has a whole fleet of kayaks, man. A couple of Oceans, a Native, a Diablo. Adam has an OK, and what, a Nuke Canoe?
Yeah, I think so. Get out and test them out. Nothing beats sitting on. Nothing beats going out and testing them out. Another major thing you got to think about this is propulsion. You need a good paddle. You can spend the most I'll spend right now for a paddle, folks. You can get a very, very nice bending branches, light paddle for about $150. Definitely worth it. I know Rob has this thing, folks, weighs about 30 pounds. It is just, it's a beast in every way, shape, or form.
I'll tell you right now, an affordable kayak that's not a bad paddle, it's almost virtually indestructible. The paddle that they put in rental fleets when you go out and rent a kayak. You should probably have a show on this, Mark, about paddles. It's the Carlisle Day Tripper.
Very nice paddle.
It only costs about $50, too, you know. I used to have one, and so I left it out on the beach on one camping or one fishing trip. So I packed it up and forgot to throw it in the car.
Nice paddles.
I highly recommend them, man, because if they're putting them in paddle fleets, man, they get abused all day long. And you just can't kill them, man. And those things are great. And they don't weigh a ton. I mean, I'm sure there's lighter paddles. But, you know, $50 for that or, you know, $200 for something that weighs, you know, 2 ounces less. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Adventure Technologies paddles, I think you grabbed that one that D had there, Rob, at Mosquito Lagoon.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
that thing
okay.
is like picking up a feather, and it's so comfortable to paddle. Oh my god!
That's an AT paddle, and that AT paddle that's the way to go, man. That's a very nice paddle. I know it's very expensive though, and she says it's indestructible. That she leans on that thing all day long, and it's carbon fiber or something, so it's virtually indestructible.
Yeah.
But the bending branches, those aren't bad paddles, man. I don't think.
No.
You know, they're not bad. I've tried them.
Greg, what kind of paddle do you have, man?
Truthfully, I can't tell you off the top of my head. I think it's Carlisle. It's the one that came originally in the. I bought a fully rigged ocean kayak, one of their full angler editions with everything on it. And it came with a paddle, and it's a good long paddle. It's sort of in between on the weight. It's not real light, but it's not real heavy. It's a composite, and I haven't broke it yet, so that's what I use.
Then you got a good paddle there.
Yeah.
I've got the bending branches, not the expensive one, but it's a fairly decent. Trust me, after this past weekend, I was sicking in between rocks and watching it bend and waiting for it to break, and it stayed up. That was about $105, and absolutely worth it. Absolutely worth it. hang on 1 second. We got a caller. Area code 757, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. You're on
the
air.
Hi, is Mark Buehler? Awesome.
Yes.
Is Mark Buehler on the air, too?
Speaking, the host.
Awesome. So I have a question for you, Mark Wheeler.
Okay.
My question is, how my husband wants to hang out with his friend again and go fishing without his friend getting busted? How is that possible?
Folks, this is a friend of mine, Amber McMurray. We had an incident at what we call the rail at Rudy. I was fishing earlier in the day, and my fishing license got wet. For people in Virginia, make sure you have a license on you at all times. Make sure it's protected. I got caught without a sustainable license that they could read because it was mush in my pocket. So, you know, make sure you have a license, folks. Fishing licenses are a must. I did, but I already got it taken care of. You know, it was one of those, hey, as long as you come in and show us that you have it, you're fine. And that's what I did.
Yeah. And Trevor definitely misses going fishing with you. He wants to go again very, very bad.
Okay. Well,
and he definitely wants to find some good fish, and you're going to have to teach me how to actually cook it.
All right. Yeah, I love eating your fish. So.
Awesome. All right, I'll let you come back to your show.
All right.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. That's not embarrassing. Not at all, not one bit.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, I understand how you feel because the same thing happened to me not too long ago. I'm out fishing at Santee Pass, and the FWC boat pulls up. Can you hit the alarm button for me? Yes, that was them. And the nice FWC boat pulls up, and they say, hi, Mr. Batcast. You know, you got your fishing license. And, you know, I pulled it out, and it was the same thing. It was mush. You know, it was illegible. And, you know, so we, you know, okay, you got your PFD. Yeah, I got your whistle. Yeah. Okay, well, I'm going to have to write you a ticket for your, you know, your license being illegible. You know, and I guess they don't have a computer on the FWC boat where they can pull me up or anything. So it turned out $56 for the ticket. Thank you very much.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Ziploc bags help with that. The other thing that I did, just because I have so many frickin' fishing licenses right now, is I went through and I took a picture of it on my phone.
Oh, yeah.
Good idea.
And, you know, that way, because normally, you know, somewhere stored in a dry bag in my kayak, I got my phone in there. And, you know, if water did get into my Ziploc bag of licenses, I could hopefully get through, say, you know, hey, sorry, these got wet, but at least I got a picture of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
What I've actually done now is on my kayak, I pulled up one of the hatches, and I have a Ziploc bag. Actually, it's in two Ziploc bags. It's my license, and I go ahead and I taped it to the bottom of my hatch. So this way, if they ask, I just shimmy my butt up, you know, to the hatch, flip it open, and show it to them to get into and. I actually, this past weekend, had the Marine Resources Commission, Marine Police come out, and they stopped next to me, and they did the same thing. You had everything. Yep. Where's your license? And at that point in time, my dry bag was behind me, and I couldn't reach it. I was like, hang on. Shipping my butt up, open up the hatch. Right there it was. Showed it to him. He's like, all right, you're good. Have fun. Be safe. Rolled away. I was like, woohoo. Not in trouble this time. Yay. Yeah, I always have a license, folks. we're running close to the end of the time, so we will pick up where we left off for next week, and that'll be PFDs, along with some other great stuff. If I had more people calling in, I would definitely give away. You're going to want to tune in next week, folks. The giveaway is going to be well worth it. We're talking everything you're going to need except for the rod to get you started fishing in the Mid-Atlantic region. It might include some free stuff, maybe some free gift cards.
I don't know if that will work very good there, Mike. I don't think that will work very good, Mark, if you're shipping everything but the rods for the Mid-Atlantic region, the frozen squid just might fall out by the time it gets there.
No frozen squid. That is evil. Squid is so evil. Now, basically, for next week, folks, you can look into possibly winning a Daiwa Sweep Fire spinning reel loaded with 10-pound Power Pro. You're looking at about a $60 value there, plus all the Bass Assassin chicken on the chain you're going to need for probably about a day's worth of fishing, four or five packs at least. And maybe a big chain $50 gift card as gotta love gift cards, folks. You can use them anywhere. So with that, I'd like to thank Greg for coming on, man. Always a great supporter in the past 2 weeks. I greatly appreciate it, sir.
Anytime.
Yes, thank you. Scuba Stan out in Charleston, brother. You know, Semper Fi, good to see you on. Hopefully you can get on next week and see you on Yak Angler, man. It was an absolute pleasure, man. And Mr. Bad Backcast, dude, thank you for coming on.
Yes, sir.
Always a pleasure to talk to you. And to my spoiled sport, Amber, I'll get you later. I'll get you. So, folks, remember, Kayak Fishing Radio is going through, kayakfishingradio.com is going through a face change. We'll have a new website pulled up here hopefully soon. And you can find all of the Mid-Atlantic reports from all the tackle shops posted on the website when that gets up and rolling on its own page. So keep an eye out for that. Also, it would behoove any of you that are listening to like us on Facebook. This way I have planned that when you come on and you win a prize, I look up if you are you like us on Facebook, and I throw in some extra stuff with that. All right? Everyone gotta loves free stuff, and little extra free stuff is always good, too. So like us on Facebook, and, yeah. So it's going to end the show. With that, folks, the end is near. So go ahead and go to yakangler.com. Go to irishwaterdogs.com. Two great websites. And hopefully... see you out there in the water. Again, my name is Mark Daniel Crew Wheeler, and that's the end of the show for tonight. See you all next week, same time, same place, on kayakfishingradio.com, Mid-Atlantic Show. Laters!